evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is, I believe, KY6B as the moderator this evening. His name is Gordon. His location, Central Florida, I understand, 37 degrees. But we have quite a panel out there. We have Roger, W4RFJ. We have Daryl, VO1UKZ. And we have Steve, KF5VH. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And I'm merely opening the program this evening. My location is beautiful Vero Beach, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of 65 degrees. We had a high of about 67 today and a low tonight of about 41. And like I said, I was standing outside in that nice wind with those playing basketball, and it was mighty, mighty cold. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. That's great news. We don't have any emergency traffic this evening. But how about any of those birthday stations? Anyone celebrating a birthday last week or maybe this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday? So any station, come aboard. No birthday stations. That also means none of us are getting any older. So this is the monthly Thursday informational net open forum, or we call it TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Want to advise everyone that I always record these sessions for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you most definitely will be part of that recording. I want to welcome everyone once again to the TIN. But at this point, I'm going to throw it over to our moderator this evening, Gordon, KY6V, so he can begin this evening's program. Thanks for allowing me to open up the session, Gordon. I'll be in the background. Looking forward to this session. And please stay warm this evening, anyone in the cold north or maybe the cold south. So KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, the gavel is all yours.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and good evening to one and all. Quick correction, Kathy, we're currently at 54 in my neighborhood, but the prognosticator is saying that we're going to go down to about 37 here by early morning. Well, tonight, guys and gals, we're going to be discussing building a website, and this net will be informal. And Bill will be run with a panel of professionals on the subject. We hope to have a lot of fun, and we learn some things at the same time. Please welcome our panel members who are, and Kathy has already mentioned this, it's Steve, KF5VH, Roger, W4RFJ, Daryl, VO1UKZ, up there in the cold Newfoundland area, and myself, Gordon, KY6V. All who have been mentioned here have considerable experience with the subject matter this evening, both from a commercial and a hobby standpoint. And we will be discussing things that need to be looked at when you're first starting to set up a website, and things to consider as you march forward. So, with all of that further fanfare, let's get started. Steve, K5VH, heard you on earlier. You're getting the radio check. Sounding great, sir. With your permission, I will start it with you for openers. KF5VH from KY6VN South Cars.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Good evening, everyone. Glad you're aboard. This is Steve, KF5VH from Lafayette, Louisiana. And let's see if we can make a website. And like most things in life, there are a number of items that have to work together to allow the website to exist, to modify it, and allow it to be seen by the consumers of the information. It is best to make decisions on all the items and then start collecting the pieces you need to build the website. Some of the decisions are, do you really need it? Can you do without it? And other decisions may be about how fast or how many. So let's review some of these items. And let's start with the first one. At least I can start the first one. Do you really need a website? You know, there are different ways of sharing information. Typically, that's broken down into push or pull. You either push the information to the end user, or the end user pulls the information from a location. A website falls into the arena of a pull device, because the user must pull the information from the website to get it. Another type of construction that you can use, similar to a website, is called a wiki. Now, typically with a regular website, you have a few people that manage the content, and all the content is funneled through these few people. There may be an occasion where you want a lot of people to be able to add information, to edit it in real time as they see errors or have new information. If you have that type of need, you may be looking for a wiki instead of a traditional website. And with that, let's start passing it around. Roger, why don't you go ahead and pick it up? We can pass it to Daryl and then back around to Gordon. KF5VH. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, this is W4RFJ. My name is Roger. I'm located in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. And I had the opportunity of taking some web classes, web design classes in college here recently. And I have to agree with Steve on his last statement. It definitely is a server/client type of system. One of the things that I've also found, and I'm hoping that I'm adding to what you've already said, Steve, is web pages can be used for more than just displaying data. You can, I know I do things here in the house at home on my home network. It's not necessarily out on the web or out on the internet, but I use web controls to manage my my voice over IP and a few other functions that I utilize it for. That way I can do it from any computer. I don't need separate software. But one thing I'd like to add about writing a web page is, you know, the design has got to be able to be sent, you know, pushed at a very high speed. Without the high speed, you're going to, you know, run into what we used to call big delays. So, staying on the same line of what web pages are, they can also be used for control. And I guess I turn it over to I forget his call, Daryl. I don't see him on the link here. If Daryl's there, pick it up. If not, Gordon, back over to you, W4RFJ.
Okay, I don't see him on the user list here, but I'm sure he's going to be with us unless he's out of power and snowed in. I want to say hi to Paul up there in your neck of the woods, and that's N3DKG. I bet you he's buttoned down for the evening with everything that you guys have gone through. And when you have a chance, why tell us how bad it got, or was it, you know, semi-okay? The only comment that I have here at the moment, then I'm going to open it up for any questions for you guys to start with, is this wiki waggy type operation. Boy, that scares the heck out of me. Wonder if you've had any experience with it, Steve. You know, I'm of the school. If you get too many chefs in the kitchen at the same time, you're really in trouble. Okay, guys and gals, this is South Cars. We're talking tonight about building a website. We've got some very knowledgeable people on here that can field any question that you can come up with. And if you stymie them or us, we'll go research the answer for you and get it back. Any check-ins, if it's just say hello, why say hello. Suffixes only, and call now, please.
Delta King George.
Holly, my Charlie Bravo.
All right, thanks, guys. I've got two of them. I've got Paul, number one, and George, number two. Paul, how bad was it up there? Did the police department have to come and pick you up, or did you get to work? Over.
Hello, Gordon, N3DKG. Well, as Roger can confirm, it's been a miserable day. No, my work was closed today, so we didn't have to go in. And we got about, I guess, 8 or 9 inches of snow last night, and then a little bit of sleet and freezing rain this morning. Right now it's raining. It was raining quite heavily when I was out, and we're supposed to get another 3 to 6 inches of snow overnight. So, no, it's not good up here, and we have plenty. If anybody wants us to share, we'd be more than happy to send some your way. And just sitting back tonight, watching a little TV and listening to the net, Gordon. So with that, I'll turn it back to you. 73's Law and 3DKG in snowy Ridley Park, Pennsylvania.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure having you with us tonight, Paul. You know, with your busy schedule, we don't have the honor of hearing you that often, so I'm glad that you're here with us tonight. And now we've got barricades here on the Florida line. No snow south of Georgia. Our Georgian friends got pretty well lambasted here in the last couple of days. And I guess Roger can comment on this. I think that he got permission from the Admiral to take 2 days off from work, so he didn't have to trittle around in the snow. So he's been home Thursday and Friday, I believe. Okay, down to you, George. LCB, how's everything in Orange City? Go ahead, sir.
Well, good evening, KY6 Victor, KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, and good evening, South Cars. Things is doing good, Gordon. What can I say? Gordon, my question was, you know, seems a website, first thing I'd like to know is ownership, domain. How do you go about getting a space? You know, seem like we got in on this other wikis and all that, but what do you do to get your space and starting it out? That's I like to get a little better understanding of that. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, that's an excellent question. I'm going to let Steve parlay that in depth. I will tell you that the first thing you have to do is reach into your wallet and give him some money. And it's not extravagant. And then there's a whole subject matter here on domain names. What do you want? Do you want a .com, or do you want a .org, or do you want a .net? And I understand, and maybe you can amplify on this, Steve, that this thing is getting so broad it's very wide. And they're in the future going to be appendages to the domain name with something like .pepsi or .mcdonald's or .beer or something like that. Go ahead, Steve, KY6V for South Coast.
Okay, Gordon, KF5VH. Well, let's go back to your Wiki question first. I do have a little experience with Wiki, and I bet most of you do too. If anyone has looked up information using Wikipedia, you've used a Wiki. That's where the Wiki in Wikipedia comes from. All that information in Wikipedia is put into the site by people just like you. People have a certain area of interest, and they can write a Wikipedia page. Now, and if you see something that's wrong there, you can suggest to edit that information. It started off very simple. Now some of the rules on certain pages have become more complex. But it is just a matter of everyone contributing to the global knowledge base. Let's run through the rest of the ways you can talk to people by emails. We do that here on SouthCars. You can do group texting, and my goodness, you can even do radio. So decision one is the website correct for you, and for now let's say yes. Two next questions are, can you afford it? And what are you going to do to keep the data up to date? Especially if you want people to visit your site a lot, you have to keep that information up to date. On the monetary side, you can start off inexpensive. $5 a month if you do a 3-year contract. But if you need more storage space, you need fancier software, or as Roger talked about, if you need a faster speed of connection, or the total volume of the connection. If you're putting out little bits of text, it doesn't use much much bandwidth. But if you are putting out lots of big pictures, then they may charge you more. Let me put a nickel in the meter here. And a domain name is a good place to start. You have to give it a name. Everything in life has to have a name, and a website is no different. And there are companies out there who can provide you with a web name. You can go to their site. You can ask it, is this name available? And they will come back and tell you, and you can grab onto that name. Let's go around again. Roger, you first. I thought I saw UKZ there earlier tonight. Maybe I was wrong. And then back around to Gordon. Go ahead, Roger. KF5VH. Nuts.
I hate it when that happens. And we heard the nuts there, Steve. Thank you very much for passing it over to me. You know, the domain name is kind of funny because the domain name is what we people use to identify a website. We use English words, and the computer's function is to turn that domain name into an address or a numerical number so it knows where to send the information to computer-wise. But what happened, and this is my interpretation, Steve, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Let me grab a nickel here. That, you know, you start off with a domain name, and then you can add to that domain name going to the left, such as what we've done with SouthCars. We got southcars.com, we got voip.southcars.com, we've got www.southcars.com. So every name upon that domain name is identifying a specific machine and will have a different address attached to that. Now, to manage the domains, you know, there are entities that you go to purchase that domain name, and you know, some charge more than others, but that's pretty much the reason why you need a domain name, is so that people can know SouthCars.com is that that server or that machine that we want to talk to. Of course, the computers handle the numbers side of it, but I hope I answered George's question and also added to Steve's comments. Gordon, I'll pass it back over to you, being as you're the moderator. Over.
Well, thanks for that, Raj. Yeah, you might want to amplify just a tad further that the DNS operation of the Internet is the translation device that takes the domain name in English and puts it into a Internet IP address form, because the computer doesn't speak English. It's got to talk with numbers. And that's how it's all put together. I think it's important to mention, too, that you don't want to get a very lengthy name. It'll be hard for people to remember. It'll be easier for them to make a mistake when they're typing in. They're going to get a 401 error on their browser and all that nice stuff. But my question, Raj, and maybe Steve can pick it up when it comes back around to him. It's been a while since I've priced any of this, but I think a domain name on the average was running, you know, it's not astronomical. What was it, $10 a year or something, Raj, over?
You know, I just set up a domain about a year or two ago, and I think it cost me about $15 or $20, and it's good for a year or two. I think it's 2 years, but you know, some charge more than others. It's not a real expensive thing. The hardest thing is finding a domain name that's not already being used.
Yeah, that's true. But I have heard also, unless somebody is very unreasonable, that there are cases where you can buy that domain name that's already been registered. Is that correct?
Well, it depends. If the person that registered or the entity that registered the domain name wants to sell it to you, they can. But if it's registered to somebody, it's theirs, their sole. That's what's going to identify their machine on the Internet.
Well, I understand that. You know, the first in line would have to make the decision whether they wanted to or not, and then go from there if that is a feasible type thing. Okay, Steve mentioned something here on hits on the pages, depending on the server or outfit that you're working with for your server. And I ran a statistics on our Southcars VOIP server here just a couple of days ago, and we're getting about 67 hits on our home page per day. I think it's pretty sizable when you look at it on a week figure and then a yearly figure and so on and so forth. So we're doing okay. And I'm very happy, and what I was seeing on the website later this afternoon, the figure is growing faster than that, so we're something over 67 now. And heading upwards towards the moon. Okay. Guys and gals, it's your turn. Come on in and check in with us. Say hello. Any questions that you have? Any comments on websites? How's your weather? What's happening in your neighborhood? KY6V South Cars, suffixes only, please.
Sierra United November.
Hey, I know you. Hi, Miss Sunshine. Stand by. Anybody else, please? All right, Miss Cassie, I think you have it by yourself. KY6V, please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Gordon, and I'm surprised we don't have some others coming with questions. Mine may be a very stupid question or questions. Is it okay if I ask some stupid questions, KY6V?
There is no such thing as a stupid question. Please continue. Over.
All right. Very soon, beginning in March, Florida, our children that are in history classes, normally U.S. history, world history, maybe government and economics, they have a history fair. And part of the thing that is judged, and incidentally I will be judging that, I think it's March 1st, is one of the groups has to make a website. And the site they always use, and Steve and Roger and you, Gordon, is called Webley. They actually go in and make this website. I'm not sure if it's published or it's just really for, those judging. So maybe you can tell me about Webley if you know anything about that. You know, a long time ago I used to do a website when I was in school, and we used to use different software. I think some of the, like Yahoo had one, I'm not sure about some of the other. So maybe you can tell me that if you can go into special software and make this website. And, you know, you do the different characters, you know, the bold and the carrots and all that. I'd like you to explain that a little bit to us. A lot of questions, like I told you, Gordon, they're probably very stupid questions, but I'll turn it back to you. Thanks for allowing me to share that this evening.
No, those weren't stupid questions at all. They were very good, Kathy. Thank you. KY6V here for South Cars. Well, from the teaching standpoint and the university involvement that Steve has, I'll let him talk about that. You know, there's a lot of programs out there for setting up a website. I'm not particularly knowledgeable on this Webley, I think that was what you said, program. But there's a lot of information out there. We run with Drupal, which is a management system here on the South Cars website, for a number of reasons. I think that Steve is going to get into that a little further down on the line here tonight. So let's see if there's any other check-ins first, Kathy, and I'll pass it to Steve and see what comments he has. And with what Roger's been going through here lately, with the schooling that he's now accomplished and finalized and got out of Dodge, he probably has some pickup on that also. Any other check-ins, please? KY6V for South Cars. All right, Steve, you want to handle Mr. Webley or others? And do you have any knowledge with this WordPress? You know, I've never played with it, but I understand it's got a lot of stuff in it also. Steve, please, KY6V.
Thank you, Gordon, KF5VH. Webley is a new one on me. WordPress I've heard of. We use Drupal, Joomla. There's a whole bunch of systems out there. They're either typically under the heading of authoring system or content management system. And let me go back and retread share a little bit. We were talking about, can you get a name if it's in use? There are people, they are name brokers, and if they hear of a movie coming out or they hear of a company opening or a company getting ready to maybe go public, or any way they can, if they hear of something before a group has a website, they will try to outguess the company in terms of what name they want. And they will buy up a bunch of names and hold them, waiting for whoever to come and request that name from them. And that's how they make their money. They buy 50 names that they anticipate cheap, and they wait for the company to come and charge them hundreds or thousands of dollars to sell the name off to them. There was a quick comment about the IP addresses. Let me put a nickel in the meter here. Right now, the numbers are dotted quads. So there are four numbers separated by periods. Right now, that's 2 to the 32nd different numbers, about 4.3 million different addresses, 4.3 million computers or touch points. We are running out of those addresses fast. You may hear about IPv6. Its address space is much longer. It's 2 to the 128th power, which is a number that when I look at it, looks like 340 quintillion addresses. Anyway, they're planning on having a lot more devices out there on the net. So we've got all this stuff. We've got a DNS to change numbers to names, and you've got to get both of those. And you have to get a content management system, and you have to get this, and you have to get that. how do you approach it? You go and you go to a company, and now knowing that you need all these things, you say, I'd like to buy a website. And then you go down the checkoff list, making sure that their package includes all of the elements you need, the name, the address, the software to help you build, everything you need. Around to you, Roger.
Wow. Caught me off guard there, Steve. Oh, boy. Well, internet addresses for IPv4, which is Internet Protocol Version 4, ran out about 2 years ago. The only reason why we still have them available to us today is some of the bigger ISPs or Internet Service Providers have blocks that they share amongst their active users, and that's why we're still pretty much using them. Plus, Steve said, IPv6, which is really neat because it's 128 bits by 32 bits of binary addressing information. So I can tell you I have a /48 subnet, and I can supply, about 256 times the total number of IPv4 addresses that are available. I probably just glassed everybody over. I apologize for that. Let me try to keep this simple and buy a nickel. I guess when it comes down to the mechanics behind how a website works, getting a site up and running, you don't have to do it out on the internet. You can do it on your own internal network if you wanted to. If you have a firewall, you could always experiment and play with it on your own network. And the biggest thing is to make sure that your computer that you're using as a web server is and has an IP address for your network. So that's the first step. You got to have an IP address, and then the domain name will come. Unless you're going through somebody who provides the service. Now, something came to my mind, and Steve, you might want to add to this, but most people that have access to the internet, most ISPs provide web space along with your account. Gordon, I'm going to pass it back over to you, and I don't know if Steve wants to comment on that, but I know Comcast has web space that I can use. And most ISPs provide some form of web space for your account. Go ahead, W4RFJ, back to Net Control.
Hey, thanks, Raj. Well, I'm going to throw it right back to you because I've got a couple of questions. I just read today, incidentally, that Comcast is purchasing Time Warner. Boy, isn't that a biggie. I don't know, 49-something or 50 million or billion dollars or whatever it is. See, you're going to be the king of the road here pretty quick because I know you're on Comcast. The IP6, can you touch on this for a second from our users that are listening here tonight? Is there anything that they are going to have to do on their end now? I noticed that the newer operating systems that are coming out are 6 equipped and 4 equipped, obviously. How about your routers and that kind of stuff? Will that flow through that, or do we need a router that will handle 6? How does that work, Raj? Over.
Well, I think Steve's laughing at me right now because that's opening a big can of worms. The best way that I can explain that, Gordon, is right now the only way to get into IPv6 or an IPv6 network is through what we call an IPv6 network broker. There's ways to do that, and the computers have the ability to use both IPv4 and IPv6. Utilizing a broker, and what it basically does is you tunnel through IPv4 to get to that IPv6 network. It gets really complicated. I know you probably threw that at me because I've been talking about a wireless mesh operating at IPv6 passing IPv4. Basically the same thing that they do on the internet, but it's flip-flopped. Instead of forcing packets over an IPv4 network or IPv6 packets over an IPv4 network, I plan on forcing IPv4 packets over an IPv6 network. So I probably just got that deer in the headlight look again.
Okay. Touch, if you will, on peripheral equipment, your modems, your routers, the stuff in between your computer and the outside world. Do they have to have any special programming that will handle this, or will it flow through them automatically? Over.
Okay, well, I think I know where you're coming from with that question, Gordon. The biggest problem that, or I shouldn't say problem, the biggest challenge we have in the internet day is all the older equipment. When we say IP version 4, or Internet Protocol version 4, that is a language. The packets are formatted a specific way, so it's like having a French station talking to a French station and a Spanish station talking to a Spanish station. They're two different protocols. So what we have are two different languages, okay? And that's the best way I can explain it. If you have the newer equipment, most of the newer equipment that contains the dual protocol capability will work well on either network. However, because everything's still Internet Protocol version 4, we have to utilize that protocol to get our other protocol across. In other words, we need a translator. So I hope that kind of fixed that a little bit. I'm not sure if I explained that well enough. Over.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you for that, Raj. What I'm coming away with is the impression here that if you have a newer router or a newer modem, I'm getting away from the computer and the internet, I'm trying to look at the interface. You've gone from 3G to 4G as an example. You're trying to stay in pace with changing times, then in more or less probability, they can talk the sixth language. Am I saying that correctly? Over.
Can I try that, Gordon?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Steve.
Until we reach the point where your network service provider, your internet service provider, is handing IPv6 down to you, nothing in your home or in your business needs to really be concerned about IPv6. In the university environment and big business environment, they may be trying to roll out IPv6. But for the home user, until the providers are sending IPv6 to you, there's not a whole lot of reason to be concerned about it. I'm not saying that you should intentionally go out and buy new gear that doesn't have IPv6, but I don't think you need to worry right now.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Steve. So, you got to get it out of the horse's mouth before you can use it. Any comments on that, Roger? Over.
All I can say is Steve is dead on, and I was trying to get to the same point kind of roundaboutly. The nice thing is that IPv6 is available if you, in fact, want to learn how to use it and want to incorporate it. There are special programs such as routing protocols. There's routing protocols version 4. There's routing protocols version 6. So the software is programmed to utilize that protocol or language. So I guess I beat that dead horse a bit. By the way, I wanted to also add that I was out at 7 o'clock this morning with my snowblower shoveling snow. Okay, that's all I need to say. Back over to you, Gordon, W4RJ.
Sounds like a chilling experience for the day, sir. Thanks, guys. All right, we're going to open it up here before we go into the next phase. Anybody like to check in at this point? Suffixes only. Call now. Questions or just say hello. Over.
Sierra United November once again.
Oh, I'll bet you're going to ask more questions on version 6. Hi, Kathy, go ahead.
No, not at all, Gordon. But, you know, no one seemed to know what this Weebly was, Weebly.com. Like I said, it's what our children do when they do the history fair, building a website. I'm not sure if it's published or it's just for education. So I wanted to just explain that a little bit. But, you know, something, and I know you and Steve know how to do this, but maybe some of us others don't. When you're updating a website, you do the schedule. Steve does that fantastic website. He puts pictures on there. He puts the calendar on there. He puts the information on there. And so what I would like you to explain to us, and I know a little bit about it, is those characters you use. Remember the carrots, front and back with a B, that means bold. I'm not sure what some of the other characters are. But could you explain some of that for us so we know exactly how you're doing that website and how you're making those updates? And like I said, probably a stupid question, but you know, that's me. Back to you, Gordon, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, doggone it. Now, that's the second time you've done that, Kathy. Being a polished teacher like you are, do you ask your kids? What do you say to your kids when they say, I've got a stupid question? Over.
Well, Gordon, the same thing you said to me. No question is a stupid question. But, you know, you and Steve and Roger are very knowledgeable with building a website. And it's been a long time since I've even tried to build one. And, you know, who knows? Maybe one day I'll try it once again. But, you know, it's a good time to you to be the teacher and I to be that student. Back to you, KY6V.
Well, thank you, Kathy. KY6V for Southgars. I'm going to let Steve amplify on what I'm going to say here, and I'm going to give just a general overview. The browsers that we use on our computers are formatted in a manner that allows a protocol or a language, and I like that better than a protocol, and Roger's been using that tonight, a language called HTML. And HTML allows you as an administrator for a site to go in and make the site look like you would like to have it look. There are some passages that you want bold. There are some passages you might want in italics. There are paragraph spacings. There's just a whole bunch of HTML tags is the word I want to use, I guess, that when you're writing a script to be transferred into the website, you use these tags to tell the unit, the website, what you want done. And a nice part about this is that the website recognizes this information that is that you are sending to it, but it does not display it to the viewer. In other words, you don't see these carrots, and you don't see the B for bold, and so on and so forth, and there's a starting tag and an ending tag in this particular language. What you see is the end product. The line will be bold if you asked it to be bold. It will be italic if you want it to be italics, and et cetera, et cetera. They have gone through a number of revisions on the HTML language. If I'm not incorrect, I think they're about up to revision 5 now, which just makes it more usable. Steve, you want to parley this one? KY6V to Louisiana.
Okay, Gordon. KF5VH. What you're saying is very true. The HTML language has these markers, and typically it's an open caret, maybe a B for a bold, a closed caret, and then you type what you want in bold, and then to end it, an open caret, a forward slash, and a B again, and a closed caret that says stop bold. That is the way HTML was written for a long time. But just like editors, just doing regular text, not dealing with a website, went from the early NROF and TROF, which had similar constructions, it got around to the point where people got tired of typing all that information, and they made WYSIWYG editors. WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. So the good news is, if you're building a website and you're purchasing it from a vendor, the content management system has an editor. It looks a lot like using Microsoft Word or OpenOffice or even WordPerfect. If you want it bold, you highlight the text and go up with your cursor and click on the bold button. The modern CMSs make the editing even easier. Kathy, you mentioned pictures. Same thing. With the modern systems, you can click somewhere and say insert a picture and size it and drag it around the screen until it looks like you want it to look. So there's a progression from very simple to very complicated. You can even have code in there that goes off into a database, looks up information, and brings it back. One other thing, you can put code in there that goes out to another computer that prepares an image and brings it back. That's what we do with the calendars. Roger, go ahead and keep going. KF5VH.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sitting here going through all my books. I've got them laid out here in front of me because there's just so much to learn when it comes to writing a web page. And as Kathy had mentioned before, there are programs that can help you to do. There's a lot of really nice free programs, which I'm not going to start throwing out here because I don't have them right off the top of my head. However, most of your pure HTML people like to use a text editor, and that's where those tags come into play. And those tags are so numerous, it takes time to learn them all, and especially how to use them. And there's a couple of things that I'd like to mention. You know, when you talk about writing a web page, you know, one of the things that I was taught is that you need to be aware of how that page is going to be displayed. The display of a page, if you use what we call a cascading, I just went brain dead. Give me a second. I got it right here. Cascading style sheet. I believe that's what we're using in the Southcars website, because if you look at the page, they all kind of look the same. It's the information that's different. So using cascading style sheets gives you the ability of doing that. One of my favorite languages, let me buy a nickel, is utilizing PHP scripts. PHP is like a hypertext preprocessor type of scripting language that will actually, if you have it installed on your web server, will serve up a web page but not show the people how you got that web page to get there or the information to get there. So that is kind of a security thing. But these hypertext pages utilize these tags to tell the client how to display the information. And I hope I didn't throw too much in there. Gordon, let me pass it back over to you, and I hope I was able to build upon what Steve was saying. You know, just so much to cover here that it can get very confusing. W4RFJ in snowy Ridley Park.
Oh, still snowing. Hey, thanks, Raj. KY6V for South Cars. We're talking tonight about building a website. And I learn a new HTML every day, it seems, particularly with my involvement with the South Cars sites, and I'm involved with both the HF and the VOIP site. We also have a site up which is just a not current but backup site in our Michigan server. The same guy that's housing this SCARS server that we're using here tonight. So lots going on in that department. And I don't think that our intent here tonight was to take this too deep and get into a lot of the nitty-gritty and the dot in the I's and crossing the T's, but to give a general understanding of what's going on. I would ask you this question, Roger, so I'm going to beep it right back up there to Ridley Park before I open it up. Depending on the software that you're using with your website and whether that software for the website has built-in filters for this, that, and the other, can raise holy heck, in my opinion, whether the filter is turned on or turned off or the right filter is on or the right filter is off when you start talking HTML. Have you run into that, sir? Over.
Well, you know, HTML has got its pluses and its minuses just like everything else, and I hope I'm on the right track with your question here, Gordon. The biggest issue, and I'm not quite sure what you mean by filters, other than, you know, maybe your client is filtering out any server-side applications that are trying to sneak onto your computer. You know, the server, gosh, I can't keep this simple. Am I talking about the right thing? Are you talking about the client having filters? I guess I'm a little confused there.
No, I'm talking about the website having filters. Let me give you an example. The Drupal system that we are using as an example on our South Cars website has several choices of filters that you can pick. All right. If you pick one, it will only honor certain tags of the HTML. And I'll give you a classic example. A caret for the starting tag to bold a line. You use the word strong and end it with a caret. Okay? If you turn that filter on and say full HTML, you can then go in and use a caret B for bold and end of caret and get your bold line. Now, I'm not getting into the end line, you know, and the forward slash and all of that. So it depends on what is set in filtering to use what you are trying to attempt to use on HTML. Does that make sense?
Okay, I think I know what you're saying now. It sounds to me like that filter is in the program that's helping you write your script. The HTML server, if it's set up to serve up HTML, it doesn't really care what tags you use as long as it's part of the library of tags. It sounds to me like Drupal is the one that's giving you the filter so that you don't use tags you don't want to use in your final script or your final HTML markup. Steve, can I pass it over to you? Maybe you can shed some better light on that. I don't even know if I'm in the right pew.
Yeah, Roger, KF5VH, you're in the right pew. The filtering system allows users with less experience to write code and not jump off the edge of the cliff. It takes and limits the number of tags and the number of things you can do to a very small number, which I bumped into right away because I was writing HTML the way I've done all my other websites, and the commands wouldn't process. So I had to set my filtering to either full or raw to allow all the commands to get through and to have all the actions taken. So it's more of a guide or an assist to the people who are just starting out writing code. Background to you, Gordon, KF5VH.
Yeah, I ran into that too, Steve. Thank you. You know, I'd like to... I'm going to throw it right back at you and get your comments on this, then we'll open it up. And I see a message from you, Paul, so hang on, Tiger, we'll be right with you. And that's Paul up there in Ridley Park, DKG. I do my draft in Microsoft Word as a norm. Not all the time, but most of the time. Sometimes I do it right on the site. But at any rate, I'll take that draft with the HTML implanted. And I'll paste it into the site. And I have learned through trial and error what I need to use or not use depending on where the filtering is set. And in most cases, I try to set the page for full HTML so you don't get stopped. But, you know, I've used just... We're overplaying this bold tag, but if I put it in with strong, if I'm not in the right filter, it won't portray. It will not honor it. And then I go to the caret and the B, and it will honor it. So I've learned the hard way, Steve. Any comments on that? Over.
It was their intention to make it easier. Although it sounds like there may be some doubt that it actually made it easier for you. But I'm sure that was the original intent. And as you develop a good CSS, and that acronym escapes me right now, but the one that Roger mentioned before that controls how things look, once a CSS is set, you don't have to worry about a lot of those decisions. CSSs can do font type, font size, font color, font shading and shadowing, page background, border color, border type, border size, window area, allowed colors, and just about anything else that can be specified. And CSS is cascading style sheet. Thank you, Roger. And Kathy, good news. I looked up Weebly. It is just a website provider. They have four different levels of service, going from free and coming up the ladder with additional features up to $25 a month. So Weebly apparently is a company that provides website services. Round to you, Roger, KF5VH.
Okay, I see we've wakened some people up in the text box there, so... CSS and XHTML are some very good, I don't want to say protocols, but they are some solutions to some otherwise problematic websites. And the program Drupal and there's several others that make it easier for a newcomer to write pages and make them look professional, but there's still a learning curve, and I'm sure Gordon's aware of that. So, Gordon, I'm going to pass it back over to you, sir, and hopefully we haven't gotten too far off track. There's almost anyway, I'll pass it over to you. See ya.
Thanks, Raj. K KY6V here. Hey, guys and gals, we're not trying to make this complicated. It's a lot of fun. There is a little bit of a learning curve, but you can start out gradually, you know, and get yourself started with a website, and then improve as you grow. I hope that we're not scaring anybody off with all of this jibber-jabber of programming to make your site look what you want. We've got two guys that I've noticed that have come up on the website server here that have some comments, and that would be Paul DKG and also Bernie. He'd like to see that you're using CSS on QRZ. So stand by, guy. I'm going to throw it to you here in a minute. Paul, if you'd be so kind, come in with your comments. KY6V, over.
Okay, Gordon, and 3DKG. No, I don't have any comments. I was just talking to Kathy in the other text box. It's a very interesting session tonight on the websites, and learning a little bit anyway. Haven't had the opportunity to even try to do any of that, but it sounds very, very interesting. And you guys are very, very informative as well. So with that, Gordon, back to you and 3DKG.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. Please keep the snow in your direction. Close your garage door and all that nice stuff, as we always say down here in Florida. How about you, Bernie? Good evening. Glad to see you. YZR, the governor of the grand state of Wisconsin. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, KC9YZR. Well, I was just trying to add in there some of the things that I did in the past. I used to be on Charter Cable, but they got too expensive. I had to drop them. They kept increasing the rates. First it was $33 a month, and $45, then $60, $75, all the way up to $125 a month. And I thought, I can't afford that. I wasn't changing the TV package. I had the cheapest TV package. And anyway, they had given some extra space for a web page there. And all I could think of at the time was uploading family photos and also doing some genealogy, so that's what I did. I don't remember how much space they gave me, but I went to that draac.com or drake.com to take that free online HTML course to learn that. And I, of course, would use, I don't know what you mean by carrots, but I think I know what you mean. I always thought about them in the mathematical terms, if I think I know what you're talking about, when the tags are, I always thought of the less than sign and greater than sign, if that's what you're talking about, at the beginning and end of the tags, like center and then and slash center at the end there, and of course the P for paragraphs, and I think it was a BRBR or something like that for a break. I don't know. Anyhow, I don't know it completely, but I learned enough to be able to put that genealogy on there. But they, oh no, I'm getting a runtime error. So if I get cut out here, that means the program quit on me. Maybe it won't quit on me until I close this pop-up. But anyway, I learned enough to get it up there. But then people were saying to me that it's taking too long for the page to load. I had the full-size pages on there. So then what I did is I made those smaller thumbnails so the page would load faster, and then they could choose like page one of the genealogy or page two and that sort of thing, and also smaller thumbnails for the photos, the family photos part there. So anyhow, after I quit the Charter, it was about 10... I think it was about almost 10 years. No, it wasn't 10 years either. 10 months, that's what I meant to say. I think it was 10 months or more that they still had my web page showing there, even though I was no longer a customer there. So anyhow, back to you. I might have to go to my RF here. I was doing this from the PC so that local people can hear me. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to checking in with RF because I think this is about to close on me. KC9YZR.
Well, nice to have you with us tonight, Bernie. Thank you. The only thing I can say is my experience from afar. I've never been on Charter myself, but I've helped a score of people through the years, particularly here with Southguards that were on Charter, and there were just a myriad of issues that needed to be addressed on how they handle their organization. So I'm glad that you changed. And if Mr. Charter is listening, I apologize for that comment. And It's only personal, sir, and please don't take it any other way. The carrots are the same as the greater sign or lesser sign that you use in mathematics. So in HTML, and you've been through some of this already, Bernie, is you use a caret or a greater sign and a lesser sign to embed the command that you want things to do when the page is printed, but you don't want these signs shown. And I guess that's the whole kit and caboodle. Okay, well, anybody else like to come in and say hello? Any questions? VXP, I see you in there, sir. I don't mean to shake you out of your chair, but by goodness gracious, Mr. Ohio, you're being awfully quiet tonight. Any check-ins, please call now.
Sierra United November, once again.
Hey, Kathy, I am enjoying your enthusiasm here tonight. And with all the hats that you wear from Southcars, may I ask if you're interested in becoming one of the webmasters? Go ahead, Kathy, over.
Well, Gordon, I thought maybe you'd ask for additional check-ins. I got in the text specs is from Roger. Here she goes again. I'm not sure if that's for me. But I'm not sure how much more of a program you have, so I don't want to tie you up. But, you know, I'm really curious with Steve. He's done a fantastic job with our website. And I want to know how easy it was to do that calendar and put those pictures in. He does them rather quickly, and he changes them. I know you do the calendar now, but he actually put, I think, that initially in. You know, he has a job, and you're very busy. So I want you both to tell me how easy this is because, you know, knowing my life, and how it is lately, I can't even imagine doing what both of you have been doing with this website. So don't want to tie you up this evening if you have other things to cover. But I am really curious at this point. Tell us how easy this is and if the normal person can do this. Back to you, Gordon, and maybe you can pick up Steve and Roger to give me some answers. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, I don't know how to approach that, Kathy. KY6V here. You know, I'd have to tell a story of how this website has evolved over the last 5 or 6 years. And what we didn't know then and we know now. For a long, long time, I could not get my arms around how to take a JPEG picture and place it on a Drupal site. And I was having problems and frustrations with our webmaster who said, I'll give you an example, and never did. And then came Steve along, and he had some background in that, and pretty quickly we figured out how we could plant a picture on the website. And once we got to that point, the website just absolutely bloomed, and particularly with Steve's guidance and his choice of pictures and so on, it really gave it a real lift in the pizzazz department. Now, as far as your question about, let's say, maintaining, to me, the maintaining is a piece of cake. And I think it's something that Steve, Roger, or I could teach you in a heartbeat. It's very simple to change the calendar schedule, as an example. The rudimentary work is already done, the setup of having that calendar available was the big throw, I would say. And once it was there, and we decided how we wanted to use it, the maintenance is just no problem at all. I'll pass it to Steve if you'd be so kind to comment on that. I'm not sure whether she's talking about getting started from scratch, but I think she's really saying maintaining it, and I think that you and I can probably do a number on that one. Steve, KY6V, over.
Thank you, Gordon. KF5VH. Well, we can use an example. It was pretty easy to put a single picture on the website, and now even easier to change the picture and a little bit of text that goes with it. You just get the picture onto the website, you change the name of the file, and you change the comments, and you're off and running. But right now, we are trying to have the website do a new trick, and that is we want to show more than one picture. So we want the website to cycle pictures so that when you have it open, either it changes itself or you can choose one of several pictures that are there. We've spent more than a little bit of time trying to make that work. It should work. We haven't made it work yet. But we are eventually going to make it work. And once we have it working, it should be very simple then to change it. So the hard part, like most things in computers, is getting it to work the first time. And then if you're careful how you build it, it's easy to do the next time. Around to you, Roger, KF5VH.
Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with the Drupal system, so I'd have to get on board with that. But the one thing that you got to keep in mind is that, you know, there's always places to get information, especially with the internet the way it is today. You know, once you've learned how to do it and you practiced it, you know, it becomes second nature. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the text box, but I threw up a couple of web links to a site that basically provides free tutorials. One of them's on HTML, the other one's on CSS, and if you look across the top of each one of those pages, they also have JavaScript, jQuery, XML, ASP, PHP, SQL. There's all kinds of different languages that you can use to generate HTML. And, you know, like I said, my favorite is PHP, XHTML, and CSS. Those are the three that I use most often. But I usually write my sites from a text editor. I guess I'm kind of hanging out with the old Unix guys that prefer that kind of stuff. However, the Drupal program, I'll be glad to pick it up if you need help with the web mastering there, Gordon. Back to you, sir. I hope I was able to help out. W4ArfJack.
Certainly did, and thanks for being here, Raj. No, I think we're marching along pretty well. As Steve mentioned, we're fiddling right now with a problem to get these slideshows to be automatic. But we'll get there. Drupal, in my opinion, I don't know from Steve's standpoint what he would comment on this, but it's a heck of a learning curve. At least it was for me. And they have a bunch of modules that do this and do that, you know. We're running PHP, we're running MSQL, an Apache server, and then the Drupal program and its management system, and It's pretty doggone neat once you get your arms around it. So we're happy so far, but we'll get this slide thing going. It takes a couple of extra modules that are normally not in the bailiwick. These modules downloaded very well, Roger. There was no problem there. But they just don't work the way that they're designed to work. So there's a quirk somewhere in our Drupal system that we need yet to find to relieve the identification of the file that we want to attack and how we want to attack it. we're talking about website building. You may never want or have a use for doing that. If you do, I hope this information is going to be helpful. And if you don't, you have a little understanding of what other people have to do to make it happen. Any further check-in, suffixes only, and call now, please.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Hello, Mr. Ohio. You were either watching the Olympics on the boob tube or you fell asleep. I've seen you here from the start, and I was wondering what was happening. KY6V, go ahead, Rick.
This is Ed1VXP. Now, I've been just listening, quite informative. I did try to check in, but you kind of beat me to it. But I got a situation that kind of puzzles me. This happened once, and actually it happened a while back. Back before I got involved on Echolink. I would look up a particular call sign on QRZ, and I would find that they have a page hooked on there on their web on their page on the QRZ, and it's freeshoutbox.net is where you get this little link that's on there. And what I found was it would ask for a login because it was so-called finding that there was a malware issue on the website or on the on my connection, which I knew was not true. But it was like a filter in there that would not allow me to type in the information and prove to them, hey, I'm no problem. It was just locking me out completely. Now, this was done before it was done on my internet provider, and it would clear up within 8 to 10 hours. It would somehow disappear, and I didn't think too much of it. Recently, I was on a Wi-Fi connection, had the problem, and let me drop for a second. I saw this problem, and I said, well, let me go to my regular Ethernet connection, and I went there, and there was no problem. Now, apparently it was something to do with a Wi-Fi connection, and everybody kept saying, well, it can't be done that way. I'm like, well, there's something in there. And sure enough, it was about 24 hours later, it was eliminated. I don't know if this is a problem with Shoutbox, freeshoutbox.net, with their link that you can attach to a QRZ page. But like I said, it happened before. It would say something about a malware detection. Have to type in a text message that's generated. You try to enter that in and hit the enter button, but nothing would happen. And I was like, wait a minute, is this a problem with with their filtering on the system? And like I say, everybody else was saying, oh, we have no problems getting into that link in there. And I went to my Ethernet connection and had no problems finding the same issue. But on the Wi-Fi connection, it was there. And just any comments on that? N1VXB.
Well, Rick, I'm not sure that I understand the whole situation. There are some things that happen from time to time that might be applicable here, but I'll pass it around to the gurus here and see what they have to say on your question. First of all, I, from time to time, see some real oddball advertisement and links posted on QRZ. I don't know how that's filtering in. I know the boys that run QRZ are very responsive and very much on top of things, but every now and then you'll get a blooming advertisement of who's in jail in Central Florida, or would you like to meet the ladies, in Central Florida, that kind of thing. Just throws me off hoop how that's getting into QRZ. But there's a situation called a blacklist, and depending, let's say hypothetically, for some reason somebody was sending spam through your ISP server. I don't know who that is at the moment, but I suppose I could look it up. And one of the other ISPs said, we're stopping this, and they put you on a blacklist, which simply means that you cannot communicate with the second ISP until that blocking device has been removed, and it's normally 24 hours unless you request it earlier. Let me throw this one over to Steve. Steve, am I hitting on the right target here with Rick on what his problem may have been? Steve, KY6V, over.
KF5VH. There's any number of points where action like that can be taken. As a quick example, if someone attacks the university where I work and it comes from an area maybe foreign that we don't have any real ties with, computer, we will blacklist a whole block of IP addresses and just leave it off. We won't even let them come onto the campus. We'll turn them off. The fact that it's talking about malware may mean that the website is interrogating the computer. Some systems are capable of looking at the type of browser you have, what version, what type of antivirus you have, and can make decisions about whether you're safe enough to talk to. Malware, maybe they're looking at cookies, and they have a list of websites. If you visited one of these websites and they consider one of them a threat, maybe they're blocking you based on the cookies of where you have been before. Very hard to tell without additional information. What do you think, Roger? KF5VH.
Okay, I heard a 2A, and I'm not sure if you had something else to say, Steve. I agree with you, Steve. There's all kinds of ways. That's probably one of the challenges with HTML is, in order to be able to do some of the fancy things like, getting your pictures to scroll from one picture to another, or, their programs have to run. Or scripts. And these scripts, dependent upon who's generated them, can send out malware, which has been known to happen. There's a lot of viruses out there that are generated from, my dog's going crazy. Anyway, to make a long story short or short story longer, I agree with Steve. Over to you, Gordon.
Okay. Well, I've got you, Roger. You were in the text box, and I think I was doubling with you. Did you have something else that you wanted to comment on, sir? Over.
I forgot what it was. It'll come to me in a millennium or two.
I don't think you and I have that much time left. All right. How about that, Rick? I'm sorry we're being a little foggy in the response to you. There's a number of ways that all of us are thinking that this type of situation could be happening, but there's multiple ways of this happening, so we can't really pinpoint it. Rick, over.
Yeah, I've actually come to a conclusion that I don't think it was on my part. I have a feeling it was on freeshoutbox.net on their part, because I could go into QRZ, go to any call sign, look it up, no problem. Only on that freeshoutbox.net, it was saying something about it detected a malware issue and just wanted to verify that I am who I am. And like I say, I typed in, it was a combination of letters and numbers generated entry that they wanted to be put in. And when I hit that and hit the little button to enter, it would do nothing. That was while I was on Wi-Fi. The minute I went over to my Ethernet connection, I didn't even have that problem. So I have a feeling that, like I say, it had something to do with the way the Wi-Fi connection was in there. Because I went back and I could see it was still acting up. And like I say, I went to my Ethernet connection, same computer, had no issue whatsoever. So I think it might have been a FreeShopBox.net issue. And it cleared up the next day. It was no problem. But sorry I didn't inform a little bit better on it, but I think that's where the problem with sometimes linking other websites in together with, say, QRZ. And one CXP back to net control.
Yeah, you know, one of these days I'll have a chat with the head guru out there at QRZ. He's a neat guy. And ask him what experience he's had and how he's blocking some of this advertisement that seems to sneak in from time to time. Well, I don't know what your answer is, Rick. I would say I'm leaning at the moment, if it's happening on Wi-Fi and it's not happening on Ethernet, there's something to do with your security setup and the way that it's playing with that particular site. But I'm not really sure. Okay, well, guys and gals, we are now 32 minutes, an hour and 32 minutes into the program. We're going to start winding it down. Want to see if there's any other check-ins that would like to say hello? Have any questions, any comments? And then we'll pass it around to the panel here and get ready to make a wrap of it if we haven't covered something that maybe we should have covered. Check-ins, please, suffixes only, and call now, KY6V.
Oh, I'm Charlie Bravo.
Oh, I'm glad that you're still with us, George. I know you like to go to bed early because you get up at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead, sir.
KW4, I'm Charlie Bravo, George here in Orange City. Gordon, I have had that problem Rick has had there. And, you know, it's like the rest of you say, you know, it could be a whole lot of reasonings, but it's usually when I connect to a different site to QRZ, you know, the first thing comes up, especially if you type a call in the box, they want you to log in. So if that's the case, you know, the time you log in to QRZ or that third party, something is it's lost in between, and it doesn't happen that way, you know. So I, for now, you know, if I want something from QRZ, I go directly to QRZ, and you know, I don't have to go through that, but I have been got the same message, you know, before there. So I stopped trying to go from one page to another page. If I want QRZ, I just go direct, and I don't have that problem. But I guess, you know, everybody's not talking together right there. And like you said, somebody may want to be trying to slip something in, and it's being rejected. So what can I say? Go to the horse if I want to get to the tail. KW4, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thanks, George. You know, maybe that's why I've never run across that problem. I always work from the horse out, towards the tail or whatever. Steve, I missed your text box entry. You had a comment on this Rick and George comments. Steve, over.
KF5VH, I think so. If this is a little box with squiggly letters and lines and they want you to enter the word, that's a CAPTCHA. And that protects the website against getting bombarded by robots trying to break in, trying to generate accounts, overrunning online polls. It prevents dictionary attacks against passwords. So if it asks you to enter a word or two where the words were distorted, that's a CAPTCHA, and that's used to protect the website from machine attacks. Back to you, Gordon.
Well, you picked up on something that I didn't pick up on. Rick, does that make sense? Is this a block that's coming up where you have to repeat what you see in the box so that they know that you're legal? Over.
Now that you mention it, that is exactly what it is. And actually, to give you better information, I was at QRZ. I typed in WA6DKS on her webpage. She has a trivia net. And right on her page at the bottom, she has all the trivia questions that she puts up for the for that week that her net's on Sunday. So she puts that up. But this happened, a week ago. It happened. I couldn't even get into the see the text box that's on her webpage. It had this little setup there with the exact thing, you know, trying to be. And like I say, I went to enter exactly what was there, but it wouldn't let me get through. So I was like, wait a minute, this is something really a mess on there. But that's exactly, I forgot to mention, that's exactly what I had seen on the page there in 1GXP.
All right. Well, Steve, go to the head of the class there. Center podium. Understand, now when you're referring to QRZ, so what you have done is you went into dirty kitchen sink. You know, I know that lady. On her QRZ site, and within her bio, she apparently mentions the TriviaNet, and however she's worded it, puts a block in for you to retype that information to make sure that you're not some bogey group trying to get into the action. Am I reading this correctly? Over.
Well, the whole page there with her questions, normally it should be open to anybody to read it. But you have to log in to answer the questions or to actually interact with that box. That one day, the whole box was completely covered up. I couldn't log in, and it was asking me for that little gotcha type answer. And like I said, I went to do it, and it wouldn't accept it. It just rejected, and it was locked up and couldn't go anywhere on the Wi-Fi. But when I went to Ethernet, there was none of that. It was right to the page, had the questions, had everything normal. That's what really got me wondering what was going on. And once the XP.
All right. Does Susie have a website of her own, Rick? Over.
No, I think the QRZ is the one that she has. And I mentioned that to her, but she couldn't figure out what was going on. I said, well, it happened once before on somebody else's webpage. They had a similar box that you could interact with, and the same kind of a problem. So that was what kind of threw me off, because I was like, no, this can't be doing it. Why is it Ethernet working when Wi-Fi not working? Same computer. Yeah, you know, just the different ways of getting in there.
Okay. Well, I think we're narrowing this down pretty well. All right, Rick. Where is Susie doing her trivia now? What site? What server? Over.
I think she's doing it on the Well, according to the webpage, if it's not mistaken, it's Minnesota MN Conference or the UNODE. But she does that on Sundays at noon Eastern.
All right, very good. We were talking about her today with Tom up in New Jersey and Doug down in Fort Myers. All right, thanks for that information. Okay, we are now 41 minutes into the second hour. Any other check-ins, please, before we run the panel one more time? All right, Mr. Louisiana, I'm going to throw it to you, KF5VH. See if there's anything that you haven't covered that you'd like to cover. And if you'd be so kind as to send it over to Roger, we'll make it a wrap here for tonight. Recordings are going strong, so I think we've got a good program to post. Go ahead, Steve.
KY6V in South Cars. This is KF5VH. Okay, well, I think we've taken and done a nice big broad stroke across all this. If someone is ready to try our website, number one, check to see if the internet service you already have includes a website. If not, you can go out. This Webley apparently is a site where you can do a little practicing for free. And certainly there are many commercial sites. Probably the most famous from their commercials would be the GoDaddy site. You've heard about a lot of the things that go into a web page. And as you look at the packages and make your selections, think about the things we've talked about tonight. And make sure that all of those things are in the package or you know what it takes to get them added to the package. That's it from Louisiana tonight. Around to you, Roger. This is KF5VH.
Excellent job, Steve, and I feel very honored to have been invited and able to participate in this panel. And, you know, Steve had a very, very good script, and he mentioned a few things. It takes a server, takes a client, and basically learning how to write the different languages to come up with the pages that we have, well, just as an example, South Cars. It takes a lot of different areas of expertise, and but it's not hard to get that expertise. As a matter of fact, I'd like to state a website, www.w3schools.com, and that will give you some free training. So they've got tutorials on HTML, CSS, SQL, PHP, all the stuff that we mentioned tonight. And GoDaddy is a good site. As a matter of fact, I have a domain that's parked. They park it for free. You can go to www.wiredham.org, and it'll take you to a site that can give you a portal into finding out what domains are free or, I mean, available, and so forth and so such. So, Gordon, I guess I'll pass it over to you. I guess the biggest thing I'd like to stress is, you know, if you're going to put a website up, make sure you take along the commitment that goes along with it and keep the information up to date. It's really a waste of time otherwise. Back over to you, Gordon. Thank you, South Cars, W4RFJ.
Well, thank you for that, Roger. I have been waiting all night, sir, for you to make that comment. You passed it along to me the other day, and I thought it was so germane. If you're going to produce a website, guys and gals, stay with it. Stay on top of it. Keep it current. Keep the interest there. Keep the flavor and the pizzazz there. It's very, very important. You don't put it up, walk away from it, and come back months later and find out that you're not getting very many hits on your website. It's a commitment. It really is. Keep it current, and this takes time. Keep it interesting. keep it changing so it doesn't stagnate. Roger, I thank you for that. Okay, we're about ready to close here, ladies and gentlemen. Any other check-ins, please? KY6V, over. Okay, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, everybody. I'm not sure what happened to Daryl up there in the frozen northern lands of Canada, but I'm sure we'll find out. He probably was out of power and dead in the water, I guess. Daryl comes with us, too, with a great background in digital communication. He runs his own computer business and so on and so forth, so he would have been a great asset along with the gentleman that we have here tonight. Okay, this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIPSouthCars.com website. Your net controls tonight have been actually many. I want to thank Steve, KF5VH out there in Louisiana, W4RFJ, our net manager, K6SUN, for being part and parcel of this program tonight. We're going to return the server back to normal use and abuse. I will attempt with all vigor to have the recording of tonight's session posted on our website at www.voip.southcars.com sometime tomorrow. Good night, everybody, and thank you. Hope to see you on Saturday. KY6V, now clear.